This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Tina Camellia, Tishao Ik, Shamla Gunnison and Chua Antek with the latest in health news. And we're examining the second annual report of the Learning Disability Mortality Review. That's quite a mouthful. Which found that people with learning disabilities have significantly shorter lifespans.
Yes, this review was carried out in the UK under the NHS system. It was part of a program that was actually established to review the deaths of people with learning disabilities and to try and improve healthcare services for this population. The report was actually released in May, but the reason we're talking about it now is because the UK government has since released their recommendations to the review. So it looked at a period of July 2016 to November 2017 and found that just over 1,300 people with learning disabilities died. Just over half of them were men, most were single, white, had moderate or severe learning disabilities, and lived with other people. The shocking finding here was that the median age of death of this population was 58 years old, which means that their lifespan was basically shortened by 23 to 29 years compared to the average population. And more people with learning disabilities died in hospital than they expected. In fact, the younger people with learning disabilities were more likely to be dying in hospital. And the common causes of death were respiratory diseases, which either came up due to infections or even like having food or drink going down the wrong way. So, you know, accidents. Also, blood and heart diseases, as well as sepsis, which is a blood infection that arises from complications due to infection that's probably not been managed well. And the main point here from the review is that about 1 in 8 cases were due to failures of the healthcare system, meaning things like delays in care or treatment, gaps in service provision, organizational dysfunction, as well as neglect or abuse of the patients. In essence, in short, some of the people might not have died if they had received good quality healthcare or had been well looked after. I mean, what do you think about this? I never thought of learning disabilities being linked to mortality.
That's the first thing that came to my mind, actually. Was there a reason why they wanted to study this link? That did they notice that people with learning disabilities or difficulties were dying earlier than the overall population?
I think there were issues. There were complaints that had been filed with the NHS. In 2013, there was a well-publicized case in the UK of a young man named Connor Sparrow Hawk who had autism and along with that epilepsy. And he actually died while in the care of an NHS health centre. He actually drowned in a bathtub. And his family were very persistent and pushed for a review. And the review then found that it was because of negligence by the healthcare center. And so I think there have been cases like this that have led to prompt the government to order a full-scale review.
Mm. I mean, I do find it surprising. It's weird, right? Like, once you've explained it, it makes perfect sense because it's indicative of how we as a larger society tend to overlook how people with learning difficulties might not be able to ask or even express what they need in the way that the rest of us do. But until you brought up this study, I actually didn't think that that could translate into such a huge gap in terms of life expectancy.
So in terms of the health needs that people with learning disabilities have, many of them usually have additional chronic diseases or disabilities. They have greater risk of injuries because, as you said, developmentally or mentally, they are less able to assess the risk around them. Many of them have high rates of epilepsy. Their senses are impaired and their mobility, they are unable to move around independently. They are also 4 times more likely to suffer from anxiety and depression. Many of them lead sedentary lifestyles, and that may be because of either their impairments or because they feel that society is not accepting of them, and they therefore tend to stay at home more, and they have double the rates of obesity compared to the general population. I'd like to bring up this story, which I think will really tell, is telling of the kind of flaws that the healthcare system has. This is a story of Anthony, who had autism, as part of that, he had an eating disorder called pica. He ate cigarette butts specifically.
Is that common too?
Yes, so these kinds right. of disorders do sometimes come hand in hand with the learning disabilities. Right. Anthony eventually died of a ruptured stomach ulcer, and this happened while he was in a care centre in the NHS. So what led to this?
They told the manager to make sure Anthony had a blood test. It didn't happen.
Which never happened.
Nobody followed this up. He couldn't communicate very much at all. He needed help and support to meet his medical needs, his health needs. It wasn't just a one-off incident. It just wasn't once or twice. This went on for over a decade. It wasn't a minor oversight.
I wonder if they're dying at about the same time that their caregivers are dying. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people with learning disabilities need a caregiver. And once their caregivers are no longer able to provide that care for them, then their quality of life also deteriorates and, you know, they're gone at about the same time. I wonder if there's a link to who their caregivers are.
That's very interesting, because we're looking at the headline of the study or this article in The Guardian, I thought that there was some link between people who have... there's an inherent link between autism and dying early.
But obviously it's more negligence, right?
Correct, yeah. Correct. It's the loneliness and marginalization that kills, right? It's that's even more tragic than, I guess, what I initially thought, because it's the people around you that let you down because you are not able to care for yourself.
I am curious as to whether when it comes to people who have been diagnosed with learning difficulties, when they go into a healthcare facility, do they not have procedures or SOPs for dealing with them a different way than you would with neurotypical patients?
So the assumption is that there should be. And in fact, under this review, some of the points brought up were that, when they looked at some of these deaths happening in care centres as opposed to hospitals, I mean, there were two different types of centres reviewed. And what they found was in the care centres where, you know, you don't actually have specialists there. We're talking about nurses and support staff taking care. There was a lack of communication between the nursing staff there and, say, the treating specialists or physicians as to the specific health needs of the patients. And, of course, whether you have policies in place or not, it's at the end of the day, and I'm sure even with the obesity story, you have guidelines and you have your ethics to guide you about how to treat all patients. But, you know, the healthcare
practice,
staff's inherent and internal prejudices are what comes into play, I think. One of the things that they found was that families and support workers, even families themselves actually, do often misinterpret expressions of pain from the patient as basically just challenging behavior. So they tend to brush it off. Or any coexisting illnesses would basically just be untreatable because it comes hand in hand with the learning disability. And that's sad because you've basically just written them off. So the UK government's recommendations that were just released had a lot of focus on training for all medical workers that are dealing with people with learning disabilities, which is very good. They talked about the importance of listening to patients and family and caregivers about their needs and their problems. But really, to me, a lot of these official things don't get to the heart of the problem, which is how do you challenge these deeply ingrained prejudices against people with learning disabilities? These people, they're part of society. They have equal value. Their lives have equal value as ours do. And we saw with the young man with autism in KL recently, who was accused and even kept in prison for one night for allegedly molesting another a woman. The way that the system dealt with him did not take into account his limited mental capacity at all. I think I would like to leave you all with a clip just to show that people with special needs have just the same dreams and desires that we all do. This is Kate, who has Down syndrome.
Okay, it's me being an independent adult living my life and having a flat of my own. Recently, last October, I was a homeowner. I got my first mortgage, and that was personally my biggest achievement to date. It made me feel very proud. I never thought someone like myself with Down syndrome could ever get a place of my own. But I was that determined, and with the love and support of my family and friends, I actually managed to achieve that. It was one of my biggest dreams and is now a reality now, sir.
And speaking of learning difficulties, join us at the Health and Living Junior event, which is happening on the 6th of October with the theme Growing Up in the Digital Age, where we will actually have a session on learning difficulties with consultant developmental pediatrician Dr. Rajini Saravanandan and educational psychologist Tan Cheng Yi, which will be moderated by our very own Chuan Tech here, as well as Juliet Jacobs. As part of the event, we will also have a town hall with ministers and a whole host of other interesting topics. So visit www.bfm.my/health event to register today.
Or you can WhatsApp us your name and email address to 018-789-8899 and we'll give you a set of tickets. All right. And I think coming up, your common concerns, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.